You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 7080 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. Tonight, we welcome three outstanding guests who are making a difference in the dressage community. First, Roz Kinsler, chair of the USDF Youth Programs Committee and Region 2 representative to the USDF FEI Junior Young Rider Committee, joins a conversation to discuss the growth of youth programs and the importance of mentoring in developing future riders. Next, Bailey Cook, USDF faculty member and leader of Megan's recent teaching seminar, shares her perspective on instructor education and the value of building a strong teaching foundation within the sport. And finally, Ashley Rand Torres introduces her exciting new equestrian apparel line, Matcha Sport, and talks about designing functional, stylish clothing that meets the needs of today's riders. A dynamic episode highlighting leadership, education, and innovation in the dressage world. This is Reese Goffler-Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Reese. How are you?
How are you, my friend?
Woo! I am barely surviving.
Ophelia. We're trying to thrive right now, but we're surviving. We're not thriving.
I'm in rest week, except it's crazy, it's hectic, which I don't understand because I just hosted a teaching seminar, and I'm like, this week, I was so looking forward to this week because it's like all this buildup to get prepared for the USDF seminar, and I thought, ooh, but it's been wild, but we had such a great weekend, Reese,
such a great weekend.
Day one, I just was like, wow, this is so amazing. We had such great discussions. Bailey was our faculty leader, and we're going to be talking to her tonight. And she just had great questions, and the people that showed up really showed up. And my hats are off to the participating instructors who really put themselves out there. How about you?
I love it. I love it. Oh my gosh, I'm like you. What is it, everybody, about fall? You think, oh, we're sort of back in school and it's easy and fun. And now I'm like, oh my God, I've got papers to grade. Oh my goodness, I'm doing clinics every weekend. Oh my goodness. You know, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
But get your skates on. It's fun. Right now, you know, Kentucky, October's the best month here. I love it so much. I get grumpy actually when I leave because it's like 75 during the day. The leaves are starting to change. So it's like super beautiful, which I love. But yeah, I mean, skates on here too. We last week had the Retired Racehorse Project.
Oh,
yes, which is so much fun. You know, I have coached Allison O'Dwyer for years, and she rode the wonderful Sibelius. Sibelius is a racehorse that's won like over $1.8 million.
Whoa.
And I know. So to see her journey with him, and I mean, she put in like the absolute best training level test two that she and he could do. And I mean, I teared up a little. I'm not going to lie. Like I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and as a coach, like when you see your student, it's the same if you ride too. And you're like, this can't go better. Like, this is it. We're doing it. And I mean, I did. I teared up a little. And he was so good. He ended up third in the dressage. And there were 2 days of dressage, like of training level test two. God love those judges. But it was so fun. There were so many horses. I was in and out a bit because we also had the USDF developing clinic that I rode Rocky in, Forever Rock Me. That was with Olivia Lagoy-Welts, and Kristen Brett and Olivia just had an amazing clinic. It was so much fun. My student Laura Himes came down, she and her husband and we all went out to eat, and it was just a great weekend of learning. Olivia was amazing and just seeing really cool horses from this. I mean, some horses came from like 8 hours away. So that was awesome. So I didn't get to see the rest of the Retired Racehorse Project because I was doing that. And then the last 2 days, because I'm like you, Megan, like I thought, oh, this will be an easy week, was a Lilo 4 clinic was just down the street at my neighbor's, literally 7 minutes from my house. And so, you know, we're talking about the instructor certification today. And I've shared on the show that I'm working on my FEIA.
Yeah,
and it's hard. I mean, it's not easy. And Lilo was here, and I really feel like I need to continue to practice teaching. You know, for that panel is really scary. I mean, you have the top trainers in the U.S. that evaluate you, as it should be. It should not be easy, but you know, it's a skill like anything else. You've got to practice. So Lilo was awesome. I gained confidence and had some great students that came. Faith and Carly were wonderful, and I called them and said, "Hey, could you come and you know just help me and just be my student?" And they were wonderful. So you know, it's we've been talking about it, putting yourself out there and continuing was pretty cool. So I'm with you. Like, it's been crazy, but in all amazing ways, like really cool. So that's what I've been up to.
I just want to say I'm super proud of you for putting yourself out there for the Lilo Clinic because you didn't have to.
Nope.
You signed up for it. You're doing your homework. And it's definitely inspiring me and motivating me that I'm like, ooh, maybe I could do a little bit more. So just want to say I'm proud of you, Reese. Great job.
Thanks, Megan. Thanks. Like, and I would say that for anybody. I mean, you know, it's just, it is hard to, we were talking about it before, to get out of your comfort zone. But I will tell you, like, when you do and you do it, it was like taking Rocky to the developing clinic. That was a big thing for him. That's a younger horse. And, he's been so good this year. You know, he was really good at the last horse show. So, you know, and it stretched him a little, probably stressed too. You know, he has been working on trailer rides, but I was like, you know what, buddy, we're going to trailer over there every day. It was like a 45-minute trailer ride. And then I wanted to bring him home and turn him out, too, for him. So, you know, that was a stretch. So, I'm trying to stretch myself. I'm going to encourage everybody else, like, do something fun, enter a clinic. You know, these are all relatively low stress. Okay. Lilo is stressful, but, you know, again, the clinics are learning, like your clinics are learning, you're hosting, your first time hosting. But again, this is how we're going to keep this community going. So, we're going to give a, you know, just continue to do that. And, you know, it's such a good thing and we need it. So, everybody do it, stretch yourself. You can do it. If we're doing it, you can do it for sure. So we have an amazing show. We're going to get this party started. But we have an amazing show tonight, talking about the community and what people are doing. So we hope it inspires everyone to keep going. Well, Megan, at the Retired Racehorse Project that was here last week, again, we're on skates here in the fall, but I loved it, was I trained Allison O'Dwyer and Sibelius. Sibelius is a wonderful horse. He won the Dubai World Cup. And what's so fun about this story is he's owned by Delia Nash, who is the owner of Kentucky Performance Products, who has been an amazing sponsor of our show and of me personally. And so to watch this wonderful thoroughbred who has won over 1.8 million on the track go and do his dressage test. And it was amazing. And he literally put in the best training level test too. I literally had tears in my eyes. It was amazing. So to watch that team at the Retired Racehorse Project was amazing. And he ended up finishing third overall in the dressage. And I was just so proud of him and Allie and the whole team behind him. He looked amazing. And it was just a great experience for all of us and great all the way around. So it was such a great feeling.
Is your horse suffering from respiratory problems like intermittent coughing, nasal discharge, seasonal allergies, poor performance, or difficulty breathing during exercise? Kentucky Performance Products has a new supplement, Airwise, that could help. Formulated using a synergistic blend of high-quality, potent antioxidants and micronutrients, Airwise is research-proven to help horses maintain healthy respiratory function. It has been shown to promote normal respiratory rates, enhance lung function, support a healthy inflammatory response in airways, and maintain immune health. To see if Airwise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2000. 2974.
Well, tonight I am so happy to have on the show Rosalyn Kinsler. We have known her, Megan and I, since we did Young Riders, and she is the chair of the National Youth Programs at USDF. Roz, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And it is very cool to know both of you in previous lives.
I know. Well, you've been with us from the beginning, really. So we love this. And things have changed so much. Megan, I don't know about you, but when I actually started Young Riders, the juniors actually was not an option.
So, no.
Yeah. It came in with my sister, who you're kind of between Lindsay and I. So things have really changed, Roz, and we are so happy to have you on to kind of talk us through the programs, because we do have some great options for kiddos.
We really do, and we're trying really hard. As you know, we all know our sport is a tough sport. It's complicated, but I hate for it to be intimidating to anybody. So that's a large part of what I've tried to do in the National Programs Committee is to broaden our offerings. And, you know, I looked at it before this to try and see, all right, if I know nothing about it, how do I find out? Step number one. And I found out if you go to the USDF website, you do not need to be a member, nor do you need to log in. You just need to open it up. And on the very top line, it says about us. And if you click on that, it says youth offerings. And that brings you to a boatload of information. It's broken up into educational opportunities, awards, recognition, and competition opportunities. But most near and dear to my heart are the educational things that we offer right now. And it's always growing. The big thing that many people do know about, USDF offers Junior Young Rider a clinic series. There's one, the FEI Junior Young Rider Clinics, and those are geared to riders that are third level and above. However, sometimes if we don't get enough people to apply for it, it's entirely possible you can get into that. We also have a new program that we really pushed hard that it's called Outreach Clinics. And the Outreach Clinics, all you have to do is ride training level test. No scores involved. I mean, obviously for these clinics, your horses have to be sound, and there's an application process through USDF, but it's pretty easy. And we really cover the outreach clinics, begin with 10-year-olds, 10 to 21. The FEI level ones are 12 to actually 25. And that includes all of our youth divisions, like the children's. You can apply if you're interested in FEI children's or FEI pony, or FEI Young Rider, and FEI U25. But outreach, there's no preference given for level of training. And there's a staff of clinicians that teach these clinics. So the education's uniform. There's, for the FEI clinics, there's one in each region annually. The outreach is growing. We're up to 4 clinics spread across the regions. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to open it up to where we have one in each region. It depends a little on demand, of course. So that's a big one. And it's a great place, I think, a huge place for youth riders to meet other youth riders doing the same thing, and parents and all the rest of it.
Right. Which, you know, this is near and dear to Megan in our heart. We used to, when back in the day, we would go to Chicago. It was a really big deal. And we would train with Conrad Schumacher. And mm-hmm. I think that changed so many of our lives, certainly my life for sure, to go and to train. So are these clinics available also to the trainers? And is there information given out at these clinics for these kiddos? You know, can you go and get some questions answered if you have that as a parent or a coach?
You absolutely can go. The coaches, unfortunately, can't ride. But we really encourage the coaches to go.
Great.
They're also, as part of it, there is generally a lecture, either like on a Saturday night. We also strongly encourage everybody to stay on site and watch all the lessons so that you can really learn from it. And trainers are most welcome. In fact, it's Well, you two know too. If you're not involved in the program, it's hard to know what's required. So it's really important to go. And the staff that has been assembled to teach these has a tremendous amount of experience, you know, across FEI. Some are international competitors. So you're really getting that great opportunity to kind of rub shoulders with famous people, which is way cool.
So. Yeah, for sure. And
how do you find hosts? Like if someone like myself, I have a barn and let's say I was interested in hosting, how could someone apply to do that to help support the program?
That's a fabulous question. If you click on the link for these clinics, because I went through this, there is a host stable application.
Oh, I didn't see that because I actually went on the USDF website and I read through everything and I did not see that. So thank you, Roz.
Yes, I found it somehow. But the other thing too with that is each region for these clinics, there is a committee member from each region. So if you can't find it, either the regional director or the regional representative committee member for your region can help you.
And where do you find that?
That is just in general USDF information.
Okay.
That's great. Not specific. You know, the regional directors are not specific to youth programs, obviously.
Right. Okay, perfect.
But they can direct you.
When we were talking kind of in the intro, just when we were chatting and getting organized, that I didn't even realize right now at USDF, there is a National Youth Committee, and then there is actually an FEI Youth Committee. Can you kind of talk about the difference there?
Sure. The FEI Committee is geared, again, to a little higher level riders, but also riders that are interested to really go to NAYC potentially or Festival of Champions. So it's a little different focus that way. The application process for the clinic is exactly the same for the outreach. But the national committee is basically open to anybody that has an interest in dressage. And so that the clinics are there are scholarship programs that are geared more to that. So they're quite a bit different that way. The national committee also oversees dressage seat equitation.
Mm.
And that is a great program.
Yes, tell us more about that.
Oh, this is the coolest thing. Yeah, it's the coolest thing. Obviously, this is a big pet project of mine. DSE, dressage seat equitation, is open to, you have to be 18 and under. But now there's another adult division that I really don't know too much about, but I'm learning. That's new. But it's a group class, like equitation. Your judge, it's slightly different than the way they do it in the Burrito Associations, because while the horse is not judged, that's really important. But you have to ride it correctly. So it has to be on the bit. It's walk, trot, canter. They sometimes ask for leg yield. They sometimes ask in the older age group, they can ask for a change of lead through the trot or a simple change of lead. No flying change. So you can basically take any horse that can walk, trot, canter on the bridle and do it. And there's a pathway there, which is, again, way cool. A pathway to go to regional championships if you get a minimum score. I believe that's now 70% in equitation. And if you are a champion or reserve, you are then qualified to go to Festival of Champions.
Yeah. This is a big deal. Yeah.
It's a really big deal.
Yeah, big deal.
And the best part in my mind is basically any sound horse is good. The horse is really a non-issue. Okay. And I really encourage people, if you are a little intimidated about test riding, but you want to see what this is about, do equitation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It puts you to the horse shows. You can meet other riders at the horse shows, other youth riders. Maybe it'll pique your interest to do a test at some point. But it is well worth it. And pretty much there's now, I believe there's a division two that is not on the championship pathway, but there's 10 years of age is the youngest, but it's walk trot. So as long as you can steer and stop and you're reasonably safe off the lead line, you know, which, yes, we know even for adults.
I was going to say, exciting. Sometimes I'm not reasonable.
Yeah, me neither. But it's, you know, the whole point is, you know, the sport is hard. And with these kind of classes, it gets people to the horse shows. They can try it out. They can hopefully be inspired by it and say, you know, cool, I want to aim for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of jealous that we didn't get to take part in this. I think kids get a really great opportunity. But my question is, what if someone like myself or even a junior, how do we get involved with volunteering or maybe even get on the committee to help continue the programs and develop them further for the next generation?
It's a really good question. It's hard to get onto these committees. And we have, as I've learned, there's a max. You can only have 9 people on a committee.
Okay.
But that being said, you know, we try for the biggest geographic distribution we can get. So we're filling the needs. But even, I believe on the website, there's a listing of who's on the committees. So at the very least, contact a committee member or contact me. Mm-hmm. And we can see how we can use your expertise or take your ideas. If you're close enough in location to NAYC, that is a great spot to volunteer.
Oh, you should go. Yeah, you should definitely go.
And you know that you can, if you know how to e-scribe, you can e-scribe. But even keeping gate is great. And the same for regional championships in any region.
Yes,
that's true. You know, there's always a shortage of hands, and it puts you in the thick of things, so you can really see what's going on and how to get involved.
And there are a bunch of awards and recognitions, right? I'm actually on the website, which was easy to find, which is great. But there's the youth dressage rider recognition pin.
Oh, yeah, we have really cool stuff. Yes. That is a really interesting one because it's a combination of your volunteer hours, but also there's a scholastic element to it.
Love that. Love it.
Yeah. That's, yeah. That's so you still have to read and write because, as I said, it's a complicated sport. You need to know how to read and write.
Yeah, for life. But it's a really good thing. Yes. Yes. We all do get older. Education is important. I always tell that to my riders.
Yeah. You have to do that. And just because you've won it, you can, we have several people now that are on their 6th or 7th one.
Awesome.
Yep. That's all the way through. And that's 18 and under. That's an age related thing. The Youth Volunteer of the Year is another really big deal. And we always struggle to get nominations for this. With the caution is that your parents can't nominate you.
Sure. Yeah.
But, I mean, that's fair.
Your trainer your
trainer can, a friend can, a teacher at your school can. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's a combination of volunteer within the sport itself and also what you do outside the sport. How well-rounded you are a little bit it's a very cool one. Which is a great thing that way. We have also
have an art. Good. Right. Hmm? You have an art one, right? I think this is awesome.
Yeah. We've got a bunch of them. I mean, the Shining Star Award is another one. That's a sportsmanship award, but that's pretty specific. The idea behind that one, and again, anybody but a parent can nominate you for it. And what that is some really unusual act of sportsmanship that came out of the blue.
Oh, interesting.
Like somebody's rein broke and you ran all the way back to the stable, grabbed the reins off your bridle, ran all the way back, got it on the bridle and got the person into the ring. That's pretty much above and beyond.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's a pretty special award. And there's also the opportunity that way. If you win a Shining Star, you're eligible for a $1,000 grant. Or we have $1,000 to give. We can give 4 of them. So if there's 4 people, you won't get as much. But that's an educational grant.
There are grants, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're also on the website, which is great. Scholarship and grants. There are some that are available.
There definitely are. And you can do this like with the Shining Star, if you nominate somebody, you can also nominate them for the other sportsmanship award. Even like I'm paging through my notes here, so that you can pick which one it's eligible for. If they're more suited to the recognition pin, right? You can do that. So you have that option because it's a pretty specific thing that way.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And then what is the lettering program? See, I don't even know what this is. I'm like, what is this? And why didn't I get to do that?
Well, lettering goes through high schools, and not all high schools do it.
Got it.
So that's why we don't run it specifically, but we help.
Okay.
So some high schools will do it, some will not.
Okay.
So you have to check with that as well. The same with the USEF programs are slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
So those you have to kind of through EF, but they also have a sportsmanship award that you can be you can nominate anybody for that. And that is a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those awards. There's also, we have in the writer certificates, like bronze medal and so on, there's a DSE one.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we didn't know any about that. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons we're doing this interview too, is it's important to know a lot of these programs, we just don't know about them and we have them. We just need to get the message out more and more. And that's one of the things that we want to help with is, you know, if you have a kiddo, please go on to this website. Are you coaching kiddos? You know, I coach some kiddos, but I had no idea that these programs even existed. So I think that that's really important to go, and you don't have to be a member. You can get to it pretty easily. And I think that's important because a lot of these actually aren't well attended, right, Roz?
That's the problem. They're not. And, you know, and for me, as long as I've been on this committee and, you know, as long as I've been involved in youth, communication is the most frustrating thing. We have them. I don't know how to reach people. And, you know, we ask this all the time at convention. And, you know, my best advice to people interested is don't be shy. Ask. And, you know, we've periodically had programs that were poorly attended, but I really think the only reason they were poorly attended, people didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to say thank you to all the committee members since 20 years ago. I'm impressed with how much the programs have changed and how much there is to offer. So my hat is off to all the volunteers and to the committees, because it's a lot of work. And I would like to also encourage youth to come to the clinics and also volunteer and help out. So thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to plug one more thing too that will help for youth going to convention this year. We started this last year and it was a big success. On Saturday morning, there's a youth assembly. Part of it is you get to go over to the BOG, to the Board of Governors, see what it is, get introduced. And then last year we had as the main topic was Lilo Foray judged a first level class and had videos with it. And then this year our focus is on DSE. We have a judge coming to talk about how she judges the classes, and a trainer who's going to talk as well about why she uses them in her program for her youth riders. And you don't have to, there's a lesser rate if you're just going to come for the assembly. You don't have to pay the full convention rate.
Oh,
I love that. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's terrific. And it's, again, another place to meet, and particularly, even though it's very hard with the thing with school and everything everybody has to do with school, still, you get to meet people that outside your region from literally
you can meet
all
Megan
across
and
country.
I.
That's true.
You can meet
I'll
Megan
be there.
And I and Roz. We're all going to be there.
Woohoo!
And right. And we'll give you our autographs because we like to.
Yes, exactly.
But it's just a great thing. And it that's brand new. I mean, we've always struggled to have a youth presentation, but this seemed to be a really good idea. Yeah. You know, another thing that I wanted to mention too, program, stop me when you need me to stop talking. But is the graduate program, which is still going strong. And that is an older group. We're 21 to 28 now. Mm-hmm. And it's a weekend seminar here in Florida with the biggest names in the business. Not so much about horses as much as although there are topics that are about that, but about the business of it, about different areas that you can put your career into, like judging, like sport horse, and that type of thing. And that application, it's a deal and a half. I think we did go up to, I think it's $450. That includes your hotel room and your meals and 2 days full of lectures.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a deal.
Great program and great students that come, you know, I'm lucky enough that Roz, I come down and into the hotel and do some lectures, and Eliza and I did the state of the industry last year, and it was a great one. We had a lot of participation, and it was a really good one. And that's every other year, right, Roz?
That's every other. Yeah. This coming year is the off year, but you can find out about it and, you know, at least see if it's your interest.
Right.
And
it's a great program.
We can take a max. We try and keep it relatively small because the conversation is good. We can take a max of like 35 people.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Awesome. It's a great program. Please look, if you are at all a young professional or wanting to do that, look at it, because it could be life-changing. And also the people you meet and the people that are in the room with you. It's a very, very good program.
And people that are starting that are probably having the same difficulties getting a business up and running.
Yeah.
You know,
we all get it.
Yes, we all did it and still have to fight for it. It's not easy. Right. And it's good to talk to other people, how they manage it. So, you know, I highly recommend it for people that can. Yeah, it's a great thing.
Well, Roz, thank you so much for coming on tonight and talking with us and giving us, you know, again, we encourage you to look at the website. But Roz, how can people contact you or people if they have questions? How do they do that?
The easiest thing for me is via email.
Okay.
And my email is up on the website.
Perfect.
Just because I'm on it all the time and, you know, trying, as we all know, phone tag is exciting if you're doing this business, but exactly. I'm on it a lot. And as I keep saying, there's no such thing as a stupid question to ask me. Worst case, I'll direct you to where you need to be if I don't know, but do not be shy.
I love that. Well, Roz, thank you so much. And again, we encourage people to come to convention this year. Obviously, it's in my hometown, so it's going to be lots of fun. And actually, it's downtown and there's so much going on. But it's a great thing to come and learn about convention and what happens. So we really encourage the youth to come. Please do. And we look forward to seeing everybody. Thank you, Roz.
Heavy new blankets, bulky coolers, tubs of supplements, even prescription items. No problem. At Chewy, every order over $49 ships free, so you can stock up on everything your horse needs for fall without the heavy lifting. Order online or in the app, and let Chewy deliver right to your barn. Fast, free, and hassle-free, so you can spend more time enjoying autumn rides with your horse. Start shopping now at chewy.com/equine.
My next Chewy order should be arriving tomorrow.
I was just going to say that. I was like,
you too?
I need to order Chewy. I just wrote it down. Order Chewy. Tonight, we are so excited to have Bailey Cook on the show with us. She is a USDF bronze, silver, and gold medalist. She is a certified instructor through fourth level, and she's faculty on the USDF certified instructor group. Welcome to the show, Bailey.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, Bailey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, you probably just said it all right there in a nutshell.
I love that. Well, you and Megan just had a really fun weekend. I was so bummed I couldn't be there.
We missed you. I missed you. For everybody who's listening, it was the dressage development seminars. There's riding, teaching, and lunging. And Bailey led us through the teaching. And maybe, Bailey, you could explain day one versus day two and your experience at my farm.
Okay. Well, let me just give a little bit of background history and to say back in the time of COVID, which seems to be where we gauge everything now from a time frame, when COVID hit, it was actually a good time for the program because we kind of came to a halt, and it gave us time to revamp and change the program to some degree. And so this year we've come out with a different format from what people might be used to. And that is that day one is more of a classroom lecture kind of atmosphere. And, whereas in the old days, prior to COVID, it was the day one and day two were basically the same, with the hands-on working with the participating instructors and the horses. And so now it gives us more of an opportunity to cover all the lecture material, which we've always been trying to do but never had time with the previous format. So day one is a classroom environment, and we have our PowerPoint lecture materials that we're supposed to teach on the given topics. And we really encourage people to become engaged with open conversation, sharing ideas, experience, training, questions, so on and so forth. And then in the afternoon of day one, we then do our demonstration. So this past weekend was a teaching seminar, and so I did several teaching demonstrations in the afternoon. And then day two, we have our PIs, which are the participating instructors, and that is a closed day to auditors. So it's just the PIs. It's a very closed session. So it's a more comfortable environment for those who are sticking their necks out and putting themselves out on the line to do this, to do these seminars. And it really is a really great learning environment, because we're all in there together as peers and so on and so forth. And so they are doing more hands-on in this situation last weekend, doing their teaching. And Megan provided us with wonderful horses and riders to practice our teaching on, or with, shall I say.
Yeah. And day one, I just want to explain to everybody too, that everyone is welcome to, not just instructors.
Yes. Yes.
And great, great discussions. And can you tell us a little bit what it's like to be the faculty and the leader of one of these seminars? Like, it's not just the day you just show up. I mean, there's a lot. I sent you a lot of emails months in advance. But what are your responsibilities during and before and after?
As the leader to the seminar?
Yes.
Okay. You know, we do help formulate the schedule. Which is sometimes hard to do when we don't know who our PIs are, or who the horses are, and so on and so forth that we're going to use. But there is some organizing that, you know, we need to help with. We have our material that we are supposed to cover in the PowerPoint presentation. So leading up to the seminars is not a lot of work. That's more on you, because you did a wonderful job, because you're the one behind the scene who's trying to get all the horses and riders and people and, you know, getting your facility ready and all that kind of stuff that just goes along with hosting an event like this. Our work comes more into play once we're there, of course. So I don't know if that...
Yeah, no, that answered it. But you're also evaluating, you're mentoring. I think you, and as well as Anne, did such a great job. I mean, I would find it really difficult, because you come in and typically don't know the individuals. And can you talk about a little bit about the evaluation? Because I feel like that's the first time as an instructor, you're really getting an evaluation on how to teach and a handle on the material.
Of course. So I guess your question is, what is our role as a leader to the, during the weekend of the workshop? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yo. Okay. Okay. So yeah, I mean, I come in as the faculty. Typically we would have the two of us there, the two faculty members there. And so we bounce off of each other. Anne and I both did together. We share the time and we split the time. And it's really kind of fun, because the PIs then do get feedback from both of us. With the PowerPoint presentations, like I say, is just kind of an open classroom. And we do encourage the conversation. And so we can never quite know where those are going to go, which is kind of fun. The day of the, the day two, where the PIs are actually doing their teaching or doing their writing, we are leading them. We are trying to guide them through not just the process of the workshops, but a format, a teaching format that is realistic to our everyday teaching. So in other words, we need to formulate the warm-up. Well, even before then, we have to talk to our students. If they're new students, we have to introduce ourselves, find out the history of the horses and the riders and so on and so forth, what level they're at, any health issues, lameness issues, blah, blah, blah. Then we do a safety check. And then we formulate, we observe a warm-up, which can be a guided warm-up if we want to guide the rider through certain things so we can be gathering information and developing our assessment as to what we think we might like to work on with a particular horse and rider combination. And then we discuss that assessment with our student. We kind of give them the plan of the what are we going to do in the lesson, the why are we doing this in the lesson, and how are we going to do this in the lesson. So the what, why, and how philosophy or theory. And then we create the work phase of our lesson, and then wind down with a cooling phase with you typically the stretching long and low or the simple school figures or whatever it might be. And then we have to leave time to be able to discuss with our student how we thought the lesson went, and give them feedback on what their homework might be.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. I think
it is a lot.
It is a lot.
I think it's a lot on you.
It is a lot. And yeah. And we are just as much in the hot seat sometimes as the PIs are. We're sometimes as nervous about being, you know, out there in the spotlight as well, because we have to live up to these high expectations and these high standards as well. So
yeah,
there's a huge responsibility to be there and to be doing this.
Bailey, all three of us went through the older style program.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that it's important that we remind instructors that we have actually, the program has been revamped. So it's a little bit more positive. It's a little bit more, you're still trying to uphold a standard, and it's still scary. I mean, we were just talking about it. It is scary to be evaluated as a coach, right? But some of it is practice, and some of it is, like you said, it's a closed environment. So I think it's important just to kind of remind people, like, it is scary, but you can do it. And don't let that hot seat type of stop you. Because just like anything, you know, my dad's a physician and you have boards. It's the same kind of thing, in my opinion, with a riding instructor. This is our job and this is our credential. So there is some level of you're in the hot seat, but you're there to help the PIs really go through the program and be comfortable and confident with the process, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And there are pros and cons to everything. You know, this sure. new format, some people would say, is maybe not as strong as maybe our previous. I mean, there's, like I say, there's going to be, you know, strengths and weaknesses to both. But the advantage to the day one is it is a more friendly mm-hmm. environment. We can have people there without putting themselves out there. And by being there on day one, they can get a feel of what this is all about. Without putting themselves out there in an uncomfortable situation. And so that, other than the fact that we're trying to cover more lecture material, it is a more user-friendly kind of way for people to use as an introduction to the program. And then if they want to do the second day or in the future want to get more involved in the program, they have a little bit more of an idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
And then day two, it used to be the old format is that all PIs would have two sessions, one on day one and one on day two. So now the PIs only have one session actually to do their teaching or to do their writing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And some, and as a faculty member, that's really hard on me because mm-hmm. I don't get a real sense. You just don't get a good feel, you know, in that mm-hmm. short amount of time.
Sure.
But at the same time, they do get, of course, evaluated, and we send them home with homework. And I think now with this new format, it just means that they have to take our suggestions and our hopefully positive criticism. They have to go home and they do have to do their homework. It's up to them to do their homework. Usually, if you have somebody who is weak in one of the skills, of course, they're going to learn throughout the weekend, no matter how many times they're seen by the faculty member. But really, they need to go home and do their homework. And they'll know what that is even after the first session, I think.
Mm-hmm. I love the new format. I almost wish it was 3 days, but I think that's too many.
Yeah.
Because then you'd have 2 days of practice teaching or, but I loved it because it opened up great dialogue. And I think more people should attend. What advice would you give to an instructor who is thinking about entering the program?
I would say go for it. I mean, heck, what have you got to lose, right? I mean, it is an educational opportunity. And then at that point, you get an idea from the faculty leader as to where a particular individual might be as far as their skills. And, you know, I guess I would just say, do it. What else have you got to lose? You're going to learn. It's a learning environment. But don't think you're going to go breezing through with just
right
one series of workshops.
Yeah.
It could take many years to do
it. I think that, you know, that's, you know, now, you know, I've done the FEIB and now I'm doing the FEIA, and we're in the workshop phase. There are four of us going through that. And, you know, so I feel for the PIs because I am one of them. But one of the reasons, you know, you're doing this is to make yourself a better teacher and do your homework and go out and get better at your job. And I think it's so important for our country that we have certified coaches. I think we all three of us on this call are so passionate about this. And it does make you better. And to be evaluated is hard, but we do dressage tests too. It's the same thing. Like we're used to that. So you have to remember that there's preparation, there's learning, and there's now the mentorship component, which I think is amazing. So I think it's a great program. And Bailey, thank you so much for coming on. How can our listeners find you online if they have any questions and or more information about the program?
Well, the one thing I will add, though, real quick, Reese, is that, you know, we as riders, no matter what level we're at, we have many opportunities, most of the people, to continue in our riding career and skills and our knowledge by clinicking and working with our regular trainers and so on and so forth. But there are no other opportunities to learn to teach in this business.
Right.
And and I think for that purpose alone, that's a big deal. Anybody can go hang their shingle obviously that's part of the problem in our industry. But unless you have a natural knack for teaching, there is no other way for us to learn how to teach just by the seat of our pants. And so I think that's a very valuable part of the program to learn. 100%. Yeah.
And to go. And that's the thing, is you're being evaluated, and there are teachers that have been doing this a long time that can say, hey, maybe say it this way, or maybe try this exercise that you didn't even think about. And you're like, oh wow, I should incorporate that. And that's also, I mean, the group I went through and in my PI group, we're still friends. We still connect. It's also, that's another thing, is having the networking to be able to call someone and say, like, I've done it before. I used to call our sweet Philip and say, from the podcast here, and say, I'm stuck. I am literally at a horse show. I cannot get these ladies to walk pirouette. What do you do? And then here, do this. And you're like, oh yeah, thanks. You know? Yeah. And so having, you know, also a network, I think that's also really important. And that is what the group gives. And so I think there's so many benefits to going and doing. You just have to go.
And you do have to go. Yeah. And certification is very important. When you think about going to a horse show, everybody there is certified except for the trainers.
Yeah.
The judges, the EMTs, the TDs, they all have a certification. They have a test, you know, they have a license to do their job.
Yep.
And we don't. And unfortunately, until it's required in the United States, I don't think our program is going to be taken seriously enough. And I don't think the format is going to be perfect. I mean, compared to what, how they do it in Europe and in Germany and everything. I mean, you go for weeks and months and sometimes a year at a time to prep for their licensing. And I don't know if we'll ever get to that point or not, but the certification is very important. And it does, it is a certificate. It is a recognition to those who have a good, solid foundation, classical foundation training. And, you know, I think we're all very proud to say, hey, yes, I have had a great education and I am trying to live by those standards on a daily basis in our teaching and in our riding. And I think we should be recognized for that. And and we want to recognize more. We need more.
You couldn't have said it better. I mean, I think the three of us are very passionate about this program.
Yeah.
You know, I think I know my GMO offers money for certification for coaches. So, you know, that's one of the barriers. Ask your GMO or quite frankly, talk to your students and see if people will help you. Cost is a factor, unfortunately, but like you said, all the other officials have licenses. And so, you know, it is what it is, but I do know my club, KDA, has that. And it's in, you have to look for it, but it's there. And there, so there are monies available. The Dressage Foundation is another one.
Yep.
So
I was just going to add that, Reese. The Dressage Foundation, I think, offers two different types for certification, the actual seminars as well as testing. So definitely look it up and ask for help.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Well, I think, you know, again, this is such an important thing that we are, all three of us are working hard to promote it, to be part of it, to put ourselves out there. So we can only, you know, all three of us on this call would be happy to answer any questions. And if we know the answer, we'll get you to the right person. So,
well, there's lots of information on the USDF website. If you click the education tab and then it'll lead you into the information about the certified instructor workshops, seminars, I guess they're called seminars now. And then if there are other individual questions to be asked, certainly Kathy Robertson is our liaison in the USDF office. And so she can also help steer people into the process of, you know, where to find workshops, seminars, and so on and so forth.
And I'd like to add one thing. Also consider hosting. For me, it was a great refresher to host. I was like, ooh, I need to work on my terminology. This was fabulous. And it was fabulous to have my students coached by Bailey and the participating instructors. It's like Reese said, it's great for networking. You just learn a lot. So definitely I encourage people to host. And I can't thank Bailey and Anne enough for coming to my facility. We have one more. I'm just going to plug that.
November, when is it, Megan?
8th and 9th. Please come out. It's the lunging seminar. Anne will be coming. And we'd love to have you all come on Saturday and learn with us.
It's scary to travel without roadside protection. This Halloween, don't get caught in a nightmare on the highway. Join US Rider and save 20% on new memberships with code USROCT25. Offer ends soon, so visit usrider.org today.
Well, tonight we are so happy to have an old friend, new friend of the show, Ashley Rand Torres. She is an international FEI rider, trainer, and friend of mine and of the show. Ashley, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we are actually talking about your new venture tonight, and I'm very proud of you. So first of all, how are you and the horses doing?
Everyone's great. All the horses have been doing great. I just, you know, getting back into the basic work before we hit up the spring CDIs. So everyone's doing well. I bought a new baby. So I have, you know, my pipeline is slowly growing. So it's definitely, definitely good.
That's fantastic. I love it. Well, Ashley, tell us, you are a new entrepreneur and I love this so much.
Thank you. Yeah, I started a clothing line called Matcha Sports a couple years ago, and it launched in the spring, and we have our fall collection, which is available now on our website and in a couple retailers.
This is awesome. So tell us, okay, this has not just been like I started it. I mean, this has been literally a labor of love for a long time. So tell us, I mean, I had no idea what it meant to even start a clothing line. So not only are you riding and competing internationally at Grand Prix, but you started this. But tell us what that means, because I had no idea what it meant at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think I did either when I started. You know, I definitely, when I started this line, I wanted it to be, sorry, if that's really loud. I wanted it to be a, you know, a second source of income if in case I get hurt or something like that. And then it just snowballed into this huge production. I've had some great team like behind me helping me, which has been like amazing. But yeah, I definitely did not know what I was getting myself into, but I'm so glad that I'm like on this journey and can broaden my horizons. That's something when I worked for you that you taught me a lot of is like to broaden my horizons a lot. So I've done the breeding, the sales a little bit, the international competitions, and now I have another source of revenue. So it's definitely, you know, with any business, it's going to take some time and love, but I'm so proud of the final product and I can't wait for everyone to try it and love it just as much as I do.
I love it. I want to know, how did you pick the name?
So it, Matcha, or you can pronounce it Maka, she is a Celtic goddess that stands for horses and war. So she kind of looks like me. She has red hair. And it's just like this mythological goddess that basically represents everything that I want to embody in the collection of just, you know, I teach a lot of adult amateurs that might not have the most confidence in their riding ability. And I want people to feel confident and beautiful and ready to conquer the world, essentially, when they wear the Matcha line. And yeah, so it kind of like was perfect and tied right into everything I wanted to represent.
Oh my God, I love that. And I was on, I believe it was Instagram, and I was looking at your shirts with the lace. That is right up my alley.
Oh, perfect.
How do people find your clothing line?
They can find me at www.matchasports.com or on Instagram. I also have a TikTok all under Matcha Sports. Yeah, so I definitely, that's a whole nother thing. I just hired a marketing company to help me with all this stuff, and they've been so amazing, so helpful. Just to help me just get out there a little bit more. So yeah, I'm really excited. We're doing a 12 days of Halloween coming up. Yes. And we just did a whole Halloween photo shoot, which I'm so excited. It launches this weekend. So we're doing some giveaways and just things like that. So yeah.
How do I sign up for the giveaway?
Sorry. It'll be so like through Instagram during the 12 days, it'll be like, you know, tag a friend, repost, reshare, and then you'll be entered to in a drawing. And then at the end of on Halloween day, we're going to draw a couple people to give away some items.
Okay. I'm on the list. I'm tagging people.
So tell Perfect. Us. Like the fall collection, what do you have new? What do you have kind of coming out, et cetera?
So the whole year, spring, summer, fall, winter, I did the same collection, four shirts and then a pair of pants. And then I just changed up the colors. So we have like a green, it's called Chive, and a plum It's called Plum Perfect. Those are like our, and a Cabernet. Those are our three fall colors. And every season I'm going to get three different colors.
I love that. That is so cool. So Ashley, tell us about your pants because I'm going to try them on because they look amazing.
Well, the pants are definitely, so when I first started Matcha, like I was a little bit hesitant to do a pant because it's definitely such a special, everyone has their, like, I'm so particular on the pant situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I created it. It's not a legging because sometimes I really don't love the legging feel. So it's definitely, there's more structure to it, more of like a trouser feel, but super high-waisted. And they only come in full seat and high-waisted right now. And we'll be coming out with not full seat and then a mid-rise and low-rise version down the line.
That will not be for me. I'm up for the high-waisted.
Yeah, me too.
Give me all the high-waist you got.
No, me too. Me too.
Because they're super flattering. And you and I have, we have the same pant dilemma. So I'm so excited, you know, to give it a go. I love it. And how easy are they to wash? Because, you know, I have
so easy. So I am like, you know me, Reese. Yes. We have, you know, I worked for you for.
Can I tell a little Ashley story when she was younger? This is how bad Ashley is with laundry. She washed her computer once.
This is
when she was a baby. Can I tell the story, Ashley?
Yeah, well, so when I was working for Reese in Florida, it was a lot, you know, Florida's a lot. And I just like my computer was in my hamper with all my clothes and I just dumped the hamper into the washing machine and ended up washing my computer.
She's grown so much, everybody.
So I am not good with laundry. No,
she's not. That's why I asked this question specifically.
Which is good because everyone's asked me that, like, oh, can you, and I wash it and dry it. I got the samples last summer, so summer of 24, and I've washed and dried those. I don't hang dry anything. Now, there are directions on the inside that do say, like, to hang dry, but I don't. I, like, wanted to use them like how I do laundry, and they still are good. Like, there's no snagging, nothing like that. And then if there are, like, major problems, I do full returns.
Fantastic.
And how about durability?
Great. I ride minimum 12 horses a day right now. And it's great. The fabric, the shirt fabric is super, it's not super thick, but it's not super thin. It's not like a thin summer shirt. But they're super flattering. And I mean, I wear it all day, 12 horses, and it's great.
I love the buttons.
Yeah, they're beautiful shirts. They're really
beautiful.
Really
thank you. Yeah, a lot went into like the little detail stuff.
And that's what's so cool about watching, you know, and seeing what you went through and you kind of explained it to me and I had no idea. You know, you just buy a shirt and you're like, ah, that's fine. Kind of like you buy a Grand Prix horse and you're like, oh, yes. It's a Grand Prix. Like, it's so amazing. It does everything. And so I think that's really fun. You know, it's been so fun to see this journey. It's been amazing. So I love it so much. Well, Ashley, we can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We're so proud. I am so proud of you, because this was a dream of yours and to see it, you know, coming to life. So you're in some stores now, right? And how do we find you?
Yeah. So you can find me Instagram, TikTok, website, www.matchasports.com. And right now Big D's, in Ohio, they carry all the products. And I'm working on getting into some other retailers down in Florida and things like that.
Wonderful. I love it. Well, Ashley, we're so proud of you. Keep up the good work, my friend. And we're here cheering you on all the way.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Well, Megan, we have some awesome book club news.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, girls at the Eastern Iowa Dressage and Eventing Association, shout out to them. They are book club winners, and they sent Megan and I a care package for the book club. You girls are the sweetest. We love you so much. I've got my notebook here, and I literally had tea out of my mug all day, and it was awesome. So, y'all, for the competition for book club, the Eastern Iowa Dressage and Eventing ladies, they're killing it. So you all better get reading and participating in the book club because we love it. So that was so sweet. No, truly. Thank you, ladies. Shout out to you guys. You're lovely. And we it made Megan and I's day for sure.
I drink out of my mug every day.
Thank you. And it's cute and it's pink and so sweet. And it was such a sweet gesture and just gets us, you know, makes us happy. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've got great book club books coming. Right now we have Begin and Begin Again with Denny Emerson. That is October through December. And drum roll, because we have a bonus book.
Oh, yeah. Yay. I'm excited to meet it. Yes. Read it. Beth Baumart's How Two Minds Meet. I'm very excited about our bonus book, Reese.
Yes. And you and I are hosting a session at convention, which will be so fun. We did it last year. And a perk of the job. Megan, I told you we had perks, and this is one of them. We get a bunch of perks, but this is a great perk. If we get to host and meet you guys, come see us. We love seeing all our listeners. And I mean, this book club is just close to our heart, and we're loving it. So come see us at convention as well. And as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guest on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Chewy. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on. Until the next show, talk to you soon.